This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Let's do it.
And I started thinking about and reflecting on what happened with Garoppolo back in March.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Got the contract. If he doesn't pass the physical, he's never playing for that team and he's never getting paid.
Earlier on the show, lead Bay Area columnist for The Athletic, Marcus Thompson, ESPN NBA analyst Brian Windhorst. Coming up from Sony Pictures, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, actors Shameik Moore and Jake Johnson, Packers beat writer for The Athletic, Matt Schneidman. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three on the air here on the Rich Eisen Show. Brian Windhorst, last hour, dynamite information about what happened in Golden State to have caused Bob Myers to step down, best he could tell, as president and general manager of the Warriors. What the Warriors' next moves might be to replace Bob Myers, that replacement, who that might be, and the decisions to be made about Klay Thompson and Steve Kerr and Draymond Green. We also talked about Damian Lillard potentially being available once the finals are over, what the Knicks might do. And then, of course, he dropped an interesting nugget about Victor Wembanyama liking truffles, which caused us to start talking about French fries, and Chris Brockman putting a poll question atop our Twitter handle at Rich Eisen Show. What's the best fry cut? Somebody already voted on that, so I was going to cast my vote. I'll just have to do it on my own personal account. So what's the current poll results before we turn to the phone lines, Chris?
Poll results, what's the best French fries? Straight skinny is at 37%.
Okay, very good.
Waffle fry at 24%. Curly fry, 22%. And the Five Guys crinkle fry at 17%.
It's a tight race.
It's a tight race.
And we're thrilled to have one.
Absolutely.
Let's put it that way.
Absolutely.
As we're waiting for the NBA finals to begin. A
lot of people just replied yes.
Got it. Makes sense.
They're down.
Or we could have had all of the above, or we could have added another one. Is other people's. That's their favorite fries, other people's fries. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. As we mentioned, Jake Johnson and Shameik Moore, the gents who play Peter Parker and Miles Morales in Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, going to be here in person. Joining us now from The Athletic, his deep dive was a must-read today. It was the first thing I read this morning when I reached for my phone. As soon as I awakened, Aaron Rodgers, the Packers, and the long succession, quote, just tell the truth, you wanted to move on, is a quote ascribed to Rodgers as elicited by the author of The Athletic's story, Matt Schneidman, right here on The Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Matt?
I'm good, Rich. Really appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
And I appreciate the information you put out there for all to see. And what really had me at hello is I saw you spoke to Rodgers on this very subject and recently. When did you speak to Aaron on this subject matter?
I did. I over the past couple months, I had gathered, stories, information on kind of what has gone on here in Green Bay over the last three seasons, more so from the Packers' perspective. And I didn't anticipate Rodgers responding. I just figured, we've always had a cordial relationship in my last 4 years covering him here, but I anticipated he just wanting to move on, which I could have understood. But I reached out to him last Wednesday. He got back to me in a couple hours, said, yeah, I'll talk. We finally connected in between his two visits to Taylor Swift at MetLife.
Okay.
And talked for about 30 minutes. I believe it was Saturday. And I made it very clear to him at the beginning of the call, I would take everything he said on the record with his name attached unless he clarified otherwise. He's smart. I'm not trying to trip him up or anything or pull a fast one. And everything was on the record. And as you know, since you've talked to him plenty of times over the years, he speaks his mind. And as reporters, we appreciate that.
No, I know that. And he must like you because he says in the piece that he only speaks to people that he likes. And I'm assuming you FaceTimed him. did you FaceTime him, Matt? Did you FaceTime him?
I did not.
Okay.
But I will say, he was on the East Coast at the time I talked to him on the phone. According to him, it is only when he's in Malibu when you need to FaceTime him.
Well, and in that regard, that's why he was saying in your piece, and what he has said elsewhere as well, by the way, he's consistent, that's why he and Gutekunst maybe didn't connect, is that, the Packers knowing where he was and the issues that he has with cell reception in his Malibu spot, that they should have FaceTimed him. And the thing that I really took from all of that is that clearly something dysfunctional is in place if the general manager of the Packers is in Los Angeles to scout players at the NFLPA bowl, if you will, and Rodgers is sitting in Malibu, and there's no set time and date to meet. You know, that they're just like, I'll just text you when I'm in town, and we'll see each other when we see each other. I mean, come on. I mean, what gives on that front, Matt? That seemed weird to me, to be honest.
Yeah, you know, we all certainly have our beliefs on what really happened, who's in the right, who's in the wrong. With this story, I just tried to get both sides and get out of the way myself and let everyone else, you know, interpret it however they want. Now, the way it went was basically they connected via text, ironically enough, before Goody went out to L.A., Malibu, whatever you want to call it, in late January to scout that bowl. He was then, I believe, going to head elsewhere on the West Coast, but they arranged kind of a rough time to meet. And once Goody got out there, he was not able to get a hold of Rodgers. When I asked Aaron about it, he said life happens, and then said he was busy with some other stuff but wanted to meet with Goody, but it never happened. And the way it was described to me was, you know, was this offseason and their disconnect and their inability to connect the only reason they traded him? Certainly not. That's why I covered a couple of years in my story. But I think it was more of a last straw with Rodgers, kind of dealing with him the last couple of years, combined with the fact that they are, both privately and publicly, really optimistic about what they have in Jordan Love.
No, and I understand that. It just struck me again as writing on the wall in what you hear, Rodgers didn't want to be there anymore, and I don't think the Packers wanted him either. Like, it was time. Like, it was finally time to go separate ways, and Rodgers is in a better spot. Even he says that he feels that there's better communication, I imagine, with the front office, Joe Douglas, and even Woody Johnson than he had with Green Bay. That's what he told you, right, Matt? Correct?
Yeah, I think there are a couple things to this. He told me that when they drafted Jordan back in 2020, Aaron thought he had 1, maybe 2 years left on his deal. He said many times him winning 2 straight MVPs changed that. So to me, that means he thinks the Green Bay was just looking for their first out. Now, there were a couple outs this offseason. A, he had kind of a down year, which obviously the broken thumb factored into that. His contract provided an out because although it was a 3-year extension, it was essentially a 1-year deal with an out and then 2 more years tacked on if he wanted to keep playing in Green Bay. And then the other out is they think Jordan Love's finally ready for the first time. So one interesting thing that Aaron told me was in his exit meetings, he stayed in Green Bay for about a week after the season, and he told me that the Packers told him they wanted him to stay, that they wanted him to retire a Packer. Then the phrasing Aaron used with me was something changed in February. Now that, you know, inability to connect was kind of in between that. So that was probably the last straw. And then everything about, you know, the darkness retreat and him coming out and finding out from his agent that they were shopping him. And then at that point, Aaron said, you know, Dave Dunn, his longtime agent, you just deal with Goody. I have nothing else to say. And the line that everyone's running with, and I was kind of a little taken aback when he said it, but this is another one of those times Aaron just speaks his mind. He said to me, you know, he essentially thought the Packers wanted to move on all along. He thought Goody just didn't like how little they communicated over the years relative to other people. And then the money line was Aaron saying, I talk to people that I like. Explicitly saying he does not like Brian Gutekunst, which I think we all could read between the lines over the years that that was the case.
Well, wasn't that also confirmed by your reporting on the 2021 demand that it's either Gutekunst who's gone or he needs to be traded, Rodgers, through David Dunn? You reported that. Can you walk me through your reporting there, Matt?
Yeah, I had heard from someone associated with the team who has knowledge of that request that Dave Dunn essentially called Mark Murphy early in the 2021 offseason before Schefter broke on draft day that Rodgers wanted out, and that kind of shocked everybody because he still had 3 years left on his deal. But Dave Dunn called Mark Murphy early that offseason and said, you either fire Brian Gutekunst or trade Aaron, and Mark said neither. And then I asked Aaron about that, and he said, I don't know if that's accurate. You need to ask Dave about that. In my 4 years covering the Packers, I'm like 0 for 162. I'm exaggerating on contacting Dave Dunn. So he didn't respond. But I will say, I'm reading between the lines here a little. There were a couple things Aaron and I talked about that he strongly denied. One of them being the Packers not being pleased with his effort over the past 9 months. And he obviously pushed back against that. He did not push back against the fact that Dave Dunn, you know, gave Mark Murphy that ultimatum. And let's be real. Dave Dunn isn't giving that ultimatum on his own. That's a directive from Rodgers. So Rodgers has said in the past that he never you know, I don't know the exact wording, but he never tried to get Brian fired. Okay, well, maybe he didn't, but your agent did. So Aaron's smart enough where he can work his way around that. But in my mind, I don't think I'm reading too far ahead that Aaron kind of deferring to his agent on that and not straight out denying it like he did. Other things means, yes, Dave Dunn did kind of request that ultimatum.
Well, and again, this is all just, you know, excellent food for thought and great fodder, certainly to talk about on the last day of May. No doubt about it, Matt, because look, no matter how awful this sounds or awkward it sounds or difficult it may be for Packers fans to hear, this is nothing. Like, literally, the Favre departure from Green Bay is holding this beer. There's no question about that. Yeah. And Favre wound up becoming part of the Packers family again. That's the way this thing is going to wind up being one day, don't you think? Unless you did you get a sense from Rodgers that that can't happen with Gutekunst around? There's not enough water and the bridge isn't high enough. What's your sense on that to tell Packers fans of what you may have gleaned from this conversation there, Matt?
Yeah, I think one thing that I found interesting was when he came back for the 2021 season after that offseason of staying away, we were all told publicly and even privately, everything's fine now. You know, both sides, Rodgers in the front office, that is, made efforts to mend fences. So everything's in the past. And then in my discussion with Aaron last week, he seemed to make it apparent that only Russ Ball, who's their director of football ops, who manages the team's cap, was really the only member of the front office who made efforts to change and accommodate those things that Aaron wanted changed, the culture inside the building, treatment of outgoing veterans, Rodgers' input on personnel decisions that directly affected his job. So I don't think as much progress between Rodgers and Gutekunst were made as it seemed.
Yes.
But I say that because if Aaron was still kind of at odds with the GM, and he was able to play the last couple seasons and, in his words, give it his all and be on good terms with mostly everyone else, I'm assuming, I don't see any reason why, even if Gutekunst is here, you know, 3-5 years from now when Aaron comes back here, whenever he comes back, to be remembered, that he can't put those feelings for the GM aside and have everything be harmonious. Because let's be real. He made a lot of people money here. I'm looking at Lambeau Field right now. I'm at OTA practice right now. The reason this area is so beautiful around here right now is because of Aaron Rodgers. He's arguably the best player in franchise history, and I don't think a little bit of friction with the GM is going to get in the way of properly remembering that one day, despite how unceremoniously things ended this offseason.
Nick, Matt Schneiderman of The Athletic here on The Rich Eisen Show. And to be honest with you, I guess how everything plays out might also play into whatever, you know, rapprochement might actually happen between Rodgers and the Packers, how it happened, how love looks, and obviously what Rodgers does with the Jets. Did you have any conversations about the here and now with Rodgers about his new digs in New York and how long he might think about staying there and how he's feeling and things of that nature? Anything on the Jets front that you can shed light on from your conversation?
I know he's happy. You know, Randall Cobb has said it publicly, and I got the sense from my talk with Aaron that he's energized, happy for a new start. I myself am from the tri-state area, the New York City, Connecticut area, so mm-hmm. I know that getting into a new city like that and getting out of Green Bay can maybe sometimes reinvigorate you. I love Green Bay, don't get me wrong, but New York City is my home. And, you know, I have it in the story, but one thing that I thought was funny, because sometimes Rodgers just can't help himself from taking shots. We were talking about kind of how the communication between him and Gutekunst only somewhat improved when he came back in 2021. And then Aaron snuck in a line saying, but it's nothing like what it's already been with the Jets in my 3 short weeks here. So he's loving it there. He's appreciated. He's getting more of what he wants than he did here. But I will say one thing really quickly that he did add as a caveat was he understands that there's this hierarchy here in Green Bay. Front office, for the most part, makes personnel decisions. Coaches coach, players play. There's no real blurring of the lines there as there may be with the Jets or other places. And while Aaron would have liked to have it differently, he does certainly understand that's how it traditionally works here, even if he doesn't necessarily agree with it wholeheartedly.
And then what about Love? Was that a bet hedge, the way that they didn't pick up a fifth-year option but just gave him another year on the contract that is less than? And what's the sense there with Love? Because the Packers are on national television just like Rodgers would be the quarterback there. It's not like a bet hedge from the league and the schedule makers. Green Bay's all over the map. We're going to see this play out in front of us nationally all year long. Matt, what's your sense there?
Yeah, I think there was a slight hedge because three of their five primetime games are in flex territory. So if Jordan Love stinks, they kind of have some flexibility there. But listen, they're cautiously optimistic, I think, is the best way to put it. They really like what he gives from an intangible perspective and also his on-field skill set. But everyone acknowledges you don't know until you're thrown into the fire and face that adversity. Same was true with Aaron. He wasn't very good his first season when the Packers went 6-10. And that's why you heard Matt LaFleur, when we sat down with him in Phoenix at the owners' meetings, say, don't expect him to play like Aaron. We got to temper our expectations for this kid. The Packers are very publicly cautioning everyone who's expecting anything near what Rodgers gave this franchise. I think they're prepared for some bumps. Is this going to be a playoff team? It's possible. The NFC is not very good, especially considering the proven pieces the Packers have around him on both sides of the ball. But they like what he has both tangibly and intangibly. And I think just the general sense is everyone is refreshed and energized with the new blood, the young blood, and a new era here in Green Bay.
Matt, thanks for the call. Again, great piece in The Athletic today. And, you know, Rodgers isn't going to tell that side of the story very much anymore, I don't think. Maybe he'll tell Pat or, you know, we get him on here if that ever happens, or anybody else nationally. He might entertain the subject again, but not to the depth that he did with you. So congrats on that. I appreciate it that you come in and add more meat on those bones. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Rich. An honor to be on. Thanks for having me, and enjoy the rest of your day.
You got it. That's Matt Schneidman here from The Athletic, right here on the Rich Eisen Show, covers the Green Bay Packers. So there you have it. Hey, look, there's going to be a night, one night, Rodgers goes back, waves his hand, and he says hello to the Packers fans. Maybe he and Gutekunst have to just take separate elevators. I don't know what's going to happen. If it happened with Favre, I'm telling you, Favre, the way Favre left Green Bay, Ted Thompson, again, I was told, flew down to Mississippi. Favre thought Ted was going to invite him back and instead offered saying, hey, do you want your actual locker? We'll remove it and send it to you if you want it for a keepsake. He's like, what? This is after he said, I'm gone. No, I'm coming back. No, I'm gone. No, I'm coming back. All of that business. Yep. Then he goes to the Jets and uses a transfer portal to go play against them. Come on. And Favre came back together with Green Bay. This is going to happen, I think. But I would never ascribe anything to Rodgers without speaking to him first. And I don't have his number to FaceTime him.
Yeah, so you got to be careful.
I don't know if I'm
going
to get it either.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Look, man, Bret Hart.
I like Hart.
Bret Hart once punched out Vince McMahon, and then a couple years later was welcome back. So you're right.
Is that right?
Yeah. You know, he spit in his face and punched him out.
But that's fake. Isn't that all scripted?
Well, yeah. No, that was real.
That part was real.
Let's take a break. Jake Johnson and Shameik Moore, Peter Parker and Miles Morales themselves, and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse in studio when we come back. Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets at the Rich Eisen Show. And every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it. And then the all-in prices, that's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guesswork is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, Your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Rich Eisen Show, Terrestrial Radio Network, Coast to Coast, Sirius XM, and more. We just saw a clip of the latest from Sony Pictures, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, Jake Johnson, who plays Peter B. Parker, and the gentleman who plays Miles Morales, Shameik Moore, here on the Rich Eisen Show. This is my kids cannot wait to see this. They're literally talking about it right now. It's unbelievable.
I think they're going to love it. The first one was so fun, and this one even explodes it more. So it kind of, we were talking about Phil Lord and Chris Miller, kind of the masterminds behind the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And it just, it's like this, it's like the first one, but on steroids almost.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like everything is bigger, everything is pushed. The animation goes even a step further. And I thought the first one was so, when we watched the first one together, we were both like, oh, this is shocking what they're doing with animation.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
take it another level.
Yeah.
So, like, if you just like animation and, like, moving art, it's a great movie. Yeah. Tons of jokes, tons of cameos, real heart. Mm-hmm. Gwen blows up in this movie in a really fun way. Miles kills. It's just a really fun movie.
Yeah.
And the clip we just saw has that famous gif of Spider-Man pointing at Spider-Man. That's a nice little wink and a nod to another piece of pop culture.
Yeah.
So I'll ask you first, Jake, and Shameik, you can respond as well. Did you, in the first film, did you have to have it explained to you what they were attempting? Because this is some whacked out stuff.
Yeah.
So I that kinda, works, by
yes,
the way.
I agree. Kind of. I kind of realized, and we've both kind of said this in press together, but you just trust the process.
Yeah.
So we have unbelievable directors. You know, Phil's always there. Chris is there a lot. Mm-hmm. And they're constantly telling you, and you're reading stuff that you don't know what's happening in terms of the whole movie.
And what it will look like?
What it will look, but they do. So early in the first one, I asked a couple questions, and early on you realize, like, oh, they're the geniuses. They got it.
Yeah.
We just have to show up and, like, do this one thing. Because if I try to understand it, it's revealed how little I know.
Right.
And when I try to pitch the whole thing, there's holes in my pitch.
Right.
So you just go, like, sit back and watch. They got it handled.
Right.
Did you have to have it explained to you? Because sometimes, I'll be honest, watching the first one, I needed to have my children explain to me what I was seeing, and I would watch it back, and I would get it. Because it is just a brilliant concept of what one would think is just a story that we've heard over and over again about Spider-Man, but not anymore. So, you know.
This was a project where we got to exercise trust. I think we do have amazing directors. While they had some concept art or some sketches, you know, early on, you know, I don't know that I was really trying to get their whole vision. I just wanted to do my best part, you know, do my part to my best ability, which was be Miles Morales. I knew those guys were going to do what they're setting out to do. And when I saw it, I was pleasantly surprised.
Yes.
You know, I'm not the one animating for hours and hours and hours out the year. I just, you know, do the voice and let the geniuses handle it, you know. But see, Jake is a comedian, you know what I'm saying? So he can pitch and whatnot. Me, I just follow directions. I'm like, this is what you want me
to
do?
He's being bashful. He's a killer. In there.
Nah.
You get to record together.
Yes.
And so it's open to improv, so creating moments. He's being humble because without him, we don't have Miles the way we have him.
Listen, Jake is hilarious. You see?
So when you say pitching, what do you mean by pitching? Like an idea?
Like improv, like in the moment. Mm-hmm. Like Phil, you know, we'll be in there and Phil is very active in writing as we're recording.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll say, like, open it up, try another trick, try, like, see what else you can come up with.
Yes.
So you're allowed to improvise in it. So he'll go, like, you guys are being chased. Mm-hmm. Then imagine this guy comes. Now go.
Mm-hmm.
And so by pitching, you're just allowed to kind of throw lines in there, throw jokes in there, react in the moment.
Right.
And if the directors all like it, then they'll start heightening it.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Which is a blast to do. You can't believe you get to do that for a movie like this.
Absolutely.
And Shameik, you're kind of blessed that your voice matches a 13-year-old, too.
Yeah, I guess so. Look at me.
Did you just get it? Hold on a minute. Was that into character, or was that really your voice right there cracking?
This is my voice, so, you know. Yeah, I guess it's the mood, the, you know, the registers of your voice. You might wake up, it's a little deeper than middle of the day after, you know, expressing yourself wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
like, you know, a little frustrated. You express yourself louder. Now your voice is up a couple notches. So I don't know. I'm happy my voice can read his mouth, though. I'll take it.
Well, and obviously, you're also creating a character that's new. You, Jake, I mean, this is as legendary as a character as there is in comics, right? It's Peter Parker. So did you grow up watching the Amazing Spider-Man?
The movies didn't hit me as hard. My brother was a big comic book guy.
Yeah.
So the comic books were around, and like the image of Peter was around a lot.
Yes, right.
So that meant a lot. And then when this one first came to me, it was through Phil via emails and talking about it. And it was just a whole new spin. So everything, I didn't think about the other way, because Peter mostly in movies is younger. So I like a heavy Peter. I like a Peter with a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
I like a Peter who's around my age, who's questioning, you know, how long are you a superhero? When do you get tired?
Yeah, right.
What happens when you have these powers but you have a kid?
Yes.
We all know, like, we all care about our careers so much. Our egos are huge.
Yes.
Then you have a kid, and I feel like it's like I need a supplement to get that ego back up, because like, the things I used to care about, I'm really fired up that she stood up, man.
Yeah, right, right, right.
And you try to tell your peers who don't have kids, and they're like, who cares, man? What about the gig?
Yeah.
And so seeing Peter go through that and being able to play it is really fun, because that I've never seen in these kind of superhero movies.
So did you ever pitch Peter's got to put his kid on an iPad so Peter could watch the Chicago Bears and some air football?
No, that's the next one.
Is that?
Yeah, that's not a pitch. That's just reality.
Yes.
That when my wife leaves, I'd go like, you know, my one daughter said that she was having a core memory, and she goes, did you used to always pick me up and yell touchdown? I'd be like, only when we scored. Which, as a Bears fan, it didn't happen a lot. But
that's right.
You still remember these huge moments.
So your daughter one day will just have these memories, these childhood memories of Jay Cutler that's totally confusing her. Is that what you're saying? Like, why am I thinking of Jay Cutler?
Yeah. Why am I saying Brandon Marshall? He's going to save us.
That is so funny. Shameik Moore and Jake Johnson here on The Rich Eisen Show. You're more of a boxing guy, you told me, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so who's your so you're from Atlanta?
I'm from
Does that mean Evander Holyfield, or is that just only a connect? No, that's out of your younger for that generation.
Yeah, that generation. You know, I like him. I like for that generation. You know, the Mike Tysons and Sugar Ray Leonard, Sugar Ray Robinson.
Okay. Oh, so you're old school.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got to be if you're boxing. But my the people I watch mostly are the newer guys right now. Like, I love Tank, Gervonta Davis.
Okay.
You know, I love Shakur Stevenson. There's a few guys that's on my list of, like, you know, inspirations. I still love Floyd Mayweather just because of, you know, how he, what he did for the sport, I guess. But I'm interested. I mean, you know, Devin Haney has the belt. Lomachenko, I feel like, showed up on their last match. Mm-hmm. I feel like Lomachenko, I feel like they need a rematch. But I'm no professional boxer. I just box on my spare time.
You do? So get in the ring.
Absolutely. I've been boxing for like 6 years.
Okay,
years.
So you what would we call you? I mean, you just
the guy
sat
who
down.
Beat both of us up in about 30 seconds.
Outside of that, outside of the obvious that I wouldn't be able to last more than one third of a round. Understood. So what's your fighting weight? What's your fighting weight?
I mean, right now I'm like 180 pounds. So if I was fighting, I'd be like probably 150.
Okay.
Something like that.
All right. That's your fighting weight, is what you're saying.
Probably. I mean, I could lose like 30 pounds if I was doing some boxing.
But you've got that old school boxing fan in you. So I was just wondering if you were a fan of Mike Tyson because he also has the voice of a 13-year-old.
That was good.
Thank you. Hey, everybody.
I was as funny as you. Yeah,
I also say those things when Mike's not in the room.
Right.
You know, because I'm kind of smart.
Yeah.
All right, Jake, let's jump right into it. What do you think about your Chicago Bears and their last season, their maneuvers to stick with Justin Fields and all that
good
stuff?
Well, I'm all in on Justin Fields.
I don't blame you.
I think any of this media spin that somehow started going that we should look at Bryce Young or anybody else is idiotic. Anybody who watched the games last year, He willed us to victory.
Yes.
I love Poles as a GM.
So do I.
I love what we did in the draft. I love how he's building. It feels very different. Mm-hmm. I like DJ Moore. I love the trade we got with Carolina. Mm-hmm. I think the NFC North is maybe ours for the taking.
Okay.
I think you got the Lions.
The Lions
are interesting.
I think the Lions are a little bit more than interesting. Yeah. I think that it's their division. They're the most talented team in it. That they're the most. Look, what you look for in a team, you look for an offense that's explosive, obviously, and a quarterback who's been there and done that a little bit much. And obviously, you know, they have Jared Goff, who's been in a Super Bowl. And I think the coach is just the right amount of crazy.
We all loved him on Hard Knocks. The problem with the Lions on hating them is they were so entertaining.
Yes.
They seem to do it right. I like the culture they're building. They just are the Lions, though.
Oh, okay. So you're going to go in that direction.
Well, because, I grew up a Cubs fan.
Okay.
So up until we won the World Series, I'd go, like, I think we have a team. And you'd be sitting next to somebody and they'd go, but you are the Cubs.
Yes.
And it would happen. So the Packers are always scary, but they're in transition. I think Jordan Love is going to be good. I hope he's right in the middle.
Because the Bears owner is quarterbacking the Jets right now.
God bless him. Get going.
Get out of here.
I'm not talking trash in case we have to play the Jets. Go do your thing, Aaron. Enjoy New York.
But I think they did make the right decision with Justin Fields.
Oh,
no.
Oh, for sure.
I think they made the
right decision.
He is a difference maker, which is what you want to see out of your quarterback.
Totally
somebody who
agree.
Can do it.
Yes, and who has done it.
Yes.
Who did it at college.
Yes.
He's always won.
Yes.
He works hard. He's a great leader. We've never had that in Chicago. Mm. I'm like, build around this young man for the next 15 years. Let's see what we can do. I like our offense. I like our defense. I like those two young guys on the defensive line.
Right.
I like going prospects. I like going 6'6", 300 pounds.
Yes.
Why not?
I do like, certainly in Chicago, no doubt about that.
I also love Roshan Johnson, the running back we got in the fourth round.
You're going fourth round draft picks on me.
Yeah.
That's impressive,
Jake. I think we got a real team here.
That is impressive.
I think we got a team.
You're going
here,
deep on me here. And I guess one last Chicago sports question for you. I got Shamik Moore and Jake Johnson here against Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. What is with Scottie Pippen's hate of Jordan? Did you hear about that this day? I mean, another, he goes all in on him. Like, what the heck?
I don't know. You know, I think it's hard when you're in the public eye, you're making a lot of money, and then you're not in the public eye. And I know for a while he was like the ambassador to the Bulls, and you'd see him like sitting on the floor. And I think sometimes you got to find the biggest name near you and make noise about it, because something must have happened in that documentary that hurt his feelings.
I think that might have been what it was, The Last Dance,
but
right?
Growing up watching Pippen play basketball was so fun. He's so good. He and Jordan together were so great that I'm like, this is just the end of a bad breakup. But you guys raised great kids. You had a wonderful marriage. Let's look past all this ugliness and remember, we had great Christmases every year with you guys. We love you guys as parents. I know we've all moved out of the house and now you hate each other. Who cares what dad did back in the day?
It's not just great Christmases. It's great, like, Father's Day. They're playing on Father's Day weekend. They're playing in mid-June every time. Because to me, there's no doubt Scottie Pippen is one of the greats to have ever played.
Yes.
It's just he played with Michael Jordan, which, by the way, is kind of what you want, right?
What?
Are you going to go LeBron on me?
No. I don't even watch basketball, so I don't have a space to talk. But if I'm Scottie Pippen, I probably didn't get as much shine as I really deserved with my level of talent.
I think that's what he thinks.
Yeah.
I think you might have also just said the greatest nickname for Scottie Pippen. And I think you said Scottie Pimpin. And if you did, I wish I heard that growing up, because Scottie Pimpin and Jordan, that's the team.
No Timpin.
I feel like I thought that was his name, Scottie Pimpin.
It is now.
It is now for sure.
It is now. Fantastic. Well, again, congratulations in advance. Yet another major hit.
Thanks, bud.
This is great. I cannot wait for my kids to see it. Available in theaters this Friday. It is exactly what fans of the Spideyverse want to see. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, right there. coming soon to a theater near you this very Friday. Shameik Moore, Jake Johnson, thanks for coming on.
Woo.
Guys, let's do this again. And thank you for leaving us with a new nickname for Scottie Pippen.
Oh, yeah. That's you called good. Him Scottie Pippen now.
Well, I did.
That's a new name.
No Timpin, Pimpin. That's part of what... you're not saying anything over there, Chris. You're trying not to jump in on this whole thing.
You don't like it?
No, he does like it. He's just a Celtic fan who's just a little bitter now. It's and he doesn't want to come across as that, right? He's just saying nothing.
Yeah. Right.
It's
I'm
going to
say this. I'm gonna put this on your show. Bears are winning 10 games next year.
Okay. You know what you need to do as we finish up this show? Yeah. I can't believe it just came to my mind here. We do this for all Bears fans who come on this program that for some reason we feel it's better. You feel better, not just as Bears fans, but as human beings as well, to just – gutturally scream the name of your head coach, Eberflus. It's just a great name. I don't know. It just Matt Eberflus. Sure. It's just, you know, when you think Monsters of the Midway, you never really think Eberflus.
No, you don't.
It does sound like it's something that you have to take to get through the hard winter right. in Chicago.
The name is a surprising hire.
It is.
Especially when you got Ditka. And then the Flus. It's the Flus.
The
Flus works.
Let's hear it.
Eberflus!
Yeah.
Okay. But hold on. If you don't mind taking a note,
okay, please.
I think you gotta okay. You know, you gotta really bring it out, Jake Johnson. Hit it.
Eberflus! Thank you. The Flus is loose in Chicago.
The Flus is loose. So 10 dubs. 10 dubs.
I think we're getting 10 dubs.
Okay, there you go. There you have it. In the meantime, everybody should go see Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, available in theaters this Friday. Jake Johnson, at Mr. Jake Johnson on Instagram, at Shameik Moore on Instagram. Thanks for coming on here, Johnson.
Thank you.
You got it. Check it out this Friday right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Hey, folks. It's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep. Because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
The Rich Eisen Show Radio Network back on the air, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. We had John Harbaugh on last week, Ravens head coach, talking about many subject matters. I brought up the new fair catch rule on kickoffs in the National Football League. If you collect the football in your arms on the fly, and you can wave your arm like it's a punt from the 10-yard line, 20-yard line. You could stand there on the 20 and just go like this and get the ball on the 25. No kickoff.
That's so dumb.
No kickoff return. Just right there. Boom. You could do it in the end zone.
Yeah.
You could do it on the 1. You could do it on the
24.
Harbaugh said, you know what? Maybe like around the 15-yard line, 20-yard line, someone's going to return it. But you're not going to see kicks like that. You're going to see squib kicks. You're going to see line drives. Harbaugh thinks if you're doing this for player safety, which the NFL is doing this for.
Claiming to do it for.
Well, he says that he thinks there'll be more chaotic plays and more injuries off of these squib kicks and these line drive kicks and things of that nature. Andy Reid said at some point, You know, it's going to become flag football. You got to play football. They're very upset about it. And as you know, I have too. I've said this is the end of kickoffs. It is the beginning of the end of the most exciting play in the NFL. I have been covering this sport, as you know. It's 20 years on NFL Network this fall. And as I said last week, Devin Hester returning the opening kickoff for a touchdown for Jake Johnson's Chicago Bears against the Indianapolis Colts. Whole country's like, they're not going to kick to Devin Hester, are they? Oh, my God, they did. But he's not going to return. Oh, my God, he just did. Unbelievable. And this year, after the nightmare of DeMar Hamlin, he shows up healthy at a Buffalo Bills game. He's there. First game back. Thank God he's alive. And not only alive, but walking around. As we all know, he's going to play for the Bills this year. He's slated to play for him. He's in the building. The whole Bills organization, the whole city of Buffalo, all of Bills Nation is hoping that the Bills can win one for DeMar, and Nyheim Hines returns the opening kickoff for a touchdown. It truly is one of the most remarkable moments I've ever seen in the regular season. That might be number one. And then, of course, he did it again. But kickoffs, it appears, are going to be legislated out. It's just a one-year rule. And we were told Harbaugh and Reed were part of a consortium of head coaches who were backing the play of special teams head coaches. And Harbaugh is a former special teams head coach, so he was lockstep with the current special teams head coaches that are like, don't do this. League did it anyway. Another guy rumored to have been part of that group of head coaches, putting their full faith and credit and reputation behind the special teams coaches to prevent the rule from happening, was Bill Belichick. He was asked about it today in New England at a press conference. He was asked about it. His response was very Belichickian, if you will. His response was saying, I guess I agree with those guys. Then he was asked a follow-up question. Apparently, he has said he doesn't want to lose the foot in football. He wants to keep the foot in football. Meaning, you got to use your feet in football.
Three phases.
Kicking game. That question and his answer is indeed today's Bill Belichick press conference moment. Oh, baby, our favorite segment is returned. After a months-long hiatus, hit it!
Today's Bill Belichick press conference moment.
Well, we prefer to win.
One phrase that I keep hearing as a tribute to you is keep a foot in football. Are you worried about where the league is heading?
I can't remember saying that.
No?
Sorry. Who? All right. I don't even know what that means, but whatever.
No way. That's it. whatever. Wow. I don't remember saying that.
Midseason form, postseason form.
He's got a new sweatshirt too. Whatever.
We're gonna need a sweatshirt.
Yeah, Bill had no interest in going there today. None.
I don't remember that saying that.
No interest in going there today.
All right, whatever.
I mean, he was asked a clarification of his thoughts on the fact that Harbaugh said what he said, Reed said what he said, quote unquote. He was only concerned about having a good day of practice, and quote, all the rest of it doesn't really matter what I think.
Okay.
We'll see about all that. I know Coach Harbaugh was pretty involved in that. Coach Reed, I think they voiced some comments on it. I probably agree with the things they said.
Well, Matthew Slater, one of the greatest special teams players of all time, said that he's not convinced that the league is doing what's in the best interest of the players, doesn't believe that it is truly in the name of player safety for the kickoff.
Then what is it for? Why would they kill the kickoff? Why would they do that? Why would they do that? It reeks of like, hey, owners, you were on the hook for all that money due to a concussion lawsuit. We're seeing the numbers go up in kickoffs. So let's do something to avoid the Braveheart-like clash of two marauding sides in the middle of a field. Honestly, like, why else would the league do it if this wasn't out of concern, out of liability? If you're saying it's not for player safety, it's for liability. It's the same.
Clearly, they didn't anticipate just everyone going to squig it. I mean, if you look at it now, there's hardly any kick returns in the game currently.
I mean, but to basically legislate Nyheim Hines' type moments out of the game, it makes no sense to me. Mac Jones spoke today.
Looks good, Mac Jones.
Oh, sure does. Asked if Bill O'Brien has brought anything to the Patriots from the Alabama offense. Quote, I'm not going to give away any specifics, but yeah.
Nice.
Mm. It's been really good working with Bill O'Brien. It's been normal.
MVP.
It's been normal. I think the communication is the most important part, and trust with a new coach. I think everyone in the room is on the same page.
Hey, first time for everything.
He said his offseason was quote-unquote college-like, not a lot of vacations. Okay. There you go.
Nice.
There's a lot of things I can do better. I know that. Nobody asked him about the quick game.
Already connecting with Juju Smith-Schuster.
Oh, of course they're connecting.
Yeah, they're a football nerd just like me.
Dude, they're connecting. Yes, everything's so great right now. So me, I'm excited about my team. It's all working. You're allowed to talk about your 7-on-7s, your 11-on-11s. You're allowed to talk about that, but I'm not, right?
I haven't, and I don't have pom-poms like you do.
I don't have pom-poms. I am not a cheerleader. I am not a cheerleader for the Jets. I am not.
There are no aggregate articles calling me a cheerleader.
Yeah, I know that. How many aggregate articles are there about anything that you've written about or talked about New England? You know what? Maybe they need to.
Maybe that's why we haven't been winning. There should be more.
You need to aggregate more wins.
We'll aggregate more than you
great.
This year.
Here we go, baby.
Just can't wait. Good luck.
Week 3, Aaron Rodgers v. Quick Game.
Aaron Rodgers probably injured already.
Oh, is that right?
he's injured now, so that's not a good sign.
Okay, and then at New England, final game of the year.
Week 272.
Week 18, when Zach Wilson is playing because, you know, it's already wrapped up for the
Zach
Jets.
Zach Wilson's
just going to get some reps. We're going to get Zach some reps.
6-10.
You know, we're going to see what we got. We're going to see what we have in Zach. Because it's all wrapped. The Jets have already wrapped everything up.
Wrapped what?
Pom-poms.
Your trip to Cancun?
But I am not.
The first draft pick?
A cheerleader. Cheerleader, if I was a cheerleader for the Jets, I'd be like, oh, yeah, Zach's going to start that game because it's all wrapped for the Jets in week 18. It's all over. Of course the Jets are going to mop the floor with everybody, just like whatever the hell this guy's doing, exterminating out there.
I mean, my battery went out in my pack, but I do believe you just said that.
I said that for effect. I don't believe it.
Wait.
Do you understand?
What part don't you believe?
I don't believe Zach starting week 18 because it's already all wrapped up because Aaron Rodgers is going to be so good. The Jets are going to be the top seed. He's going to knock off Mahomes when he sees him, and he's not going to knock off Josh Allen. Two times he sees Allen, he's going to knock them all off. I don't believe that.
Talking playoffs?
Yes, we are talking about playoffs, though. We are. That's not pom-pom. It's reality. It's reality. What's your reality? What's your reality?
We're going to be better than the Jets.
Now that's cheerleading.
That's not cheerleading.
That's not.
What about that as cheerleading? I mean,
you might as well go out and get your Revolution season tickets, too, cheerleader.
Revolution.
I don't know what that means.
Give me a P. Give me an A.
You're rooting for all the...
Please, aggregate me.
When you lose, I win.
Aggregate that man. Aggregate him.